Hey, good morning. What a day, what a day, what a day. Woo. It was cold this morning. Do you know what happened yesterday? Funny thing happened on the way to yesterday. It became meteorological spring. Amen. We don't say it's spring till what? March 21st, is that right? Something like that? Yeah, but the scientist, and I do this because meteorology is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like finding water with two willow sticks, but how about two copper sticks? How about that? but it's good. Seasons change. Hey, Raymond, how are you, brother? Good. I hope you have your offering with you. Amen. Don't forget, there are three ways to give, and Karen's going to come do the rest of the announcements in a moment. But one is Tithely. Tithe.ly is the website, and you look for Arise Church with our zip code. And because there's, you know, when we named our church Arise, there was no Arise. I Googled Arise Church, zero came up except for this place in New Zealand, right? But now you open up that website, or you download the app on your Android or iPhone, and you type in Arise, and there are like a whole lot. There's a lot. So be sure you add the zip code, because I'm sure those other Arise churches need money, but I don't want them to get yours. Amen. Jesus says, got a word up here. Amen. I have cast out all fear, all anxiety, all despair. My love cast it all out. Stop taking it back up. Come on, Jesus. Stop standing in agreement with the enemy. Walk in confidence, my love, and rest in me. Man, that's almost 3 points right there, isn't it? Thanks, Jesus. I'm glad he takes all anxiety. You know, I never used to have anxiety. Never. I used to cause a lot of anxiety, but anyway. Can I get a couple of bouncers to a... Amen. Amen. We need to bless the offering, and then we need to pray for Michael Keith. Michael, the Keith family are our new members, but Michael had to go for emergency surgery Thursday, Karen? Wednesday? Thursday. I don't even know if he wants me to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyways. I'm in this far into it. He had to have his appendix and his gallbladder removed. He got a twofer. And this morning he was on his way back to Batesville because of the pain and some other issues. So we need to pray. Amen. Father, we just lift up our brother Michael to you right now. Lord, we speak to that incision. We speak to that procedure. We speak to everything that's happening on the inside of him right now. And we call it whole and well and peaceful in Jesus' name. Lord, that it be mended, that he heal quickly. And Father, we continue to pray for Richard's shoulder, that he heals completely and gets full use of that shoulder, Lord. And Father, we just give you glory. And we thank you that you are such a wonderful Father and that you provide for us. Lord, I pray over the seed sown in this church. Lord, I declare that it'll come back to them 100-fold, even more, even more, even more. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Miss Karen, Sister Karen, will you come? Man, you have your own supporters in here, don't you?
Yes, I do. I have a support team. I got an earthly support team and a Holy Ghost support team. They're going to get you. Well, welcome, welcome this morning. Just want to remind everybody we have intercessory prayer, 9:30 to 9:45 in here, setting the atmosphere for what God wants to do, telling him. Do you know there's churches that don't tell Holy Spirit he can have his way? They don't tell him, and we do. And I want him to have his way more. Like, I want him to, it would make me so happy if he blew through here and knocked us all to the floor. I've been there before. My goodness, I'm rhyming. You know. Holy Spirit's involved when I'm rhyming. Anyway, we're so glad you're here. Pastor's starting the journey to resurrection this morning, and it'll be going all through March and April. We will have bring invitations with our graphics and stuff on there, and our address and little map on the back for you to hand out. I want to encourage you now to start asking and inviting. I want you to pray first. This is what I want you to do. For the next few weeks, I want you to pray and ask Holy Spirit to point out someone for you to invite Easter Sunday morning. Just one. If we just brought one person each, he has people that are ready. And if we ask him to point them out to us, maybe it's somebody you don't really, really know. Maybe it's somebody at the grocery store. But the Lord just lays it on your heart that this is the one, because he knows whose hearts are soft and ready. He knows who's hungry and asking, is there a God? He knows. See, we don't have to cold call evangelism. You know what cold call means? Anybody ever done door-to-door sales where you just knock on people's doors and cold call? It's rough work, all right? That's a hard, hard line to take. We don't have to cold call people. Holy Spirit knows who he's been working with, who he's working on. And we all touch different kinds of people at different times in this community. And so I'm encouraging you to ask Holy Spirit to point that person out to you for the next few weeks. And then we will have a little bring invitation card, and you can just hand it to him and say whatever Holy Spirit says to you to say. What do you think about that? We want him involved. We want him involved. I don't want to be me involved. I want him involved. When I know he's going before me, behind me, surrounding me, there's no fear. Amen. So we're going to do that for the next few weeks. Pastor starting Journey to Resurrection. Ladies Bible Study will start this Thursday, March 6th. Changes That Heal. Dr. Henry Cloud, he is a psychologist and a Christian, and he uses scripture throughout. And there is a book and a workbook online. If you just want to buy one, I hear on good authority of someone who's going through this book, buy the book. The book is the gold. And so you could bring a notebook maybe and write in things if you'd like that we go over. But Changes That Heal, Dr. Henry Cloud, and that will be Thursday at noon to 1 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Thursday Encounter at 7 p.m. We had canceled this week because we were in service two nights this past week. But we will be back on schedule for Encounter Worship Thursday at 7 p.m. And again, all of our announcements are on Facebook and our website, arisechurch.cc. I do, this past Tuesday and Wednesday was amazing. Jamie just preached some really foundational, for by grace are we saved through faith. Man, I thought I had that down, you know. I thought I had that down. Lord even used that scripture to teach me a good, hard, long lesson. Between here and England one time. And I thought I had, by grace, are you saved through faith down. But Jamie put a spin on it. And another layer of a foundation came into my life. And so that service is actually on Facebook. It was Facebook Live for you guys. And I think maybe Tuesday night might have been CD'd, recorded. I'm not sure. So we'll have to check on that. But I just want to encourage you that if you heard something that you're not real sure about, it's okay. We're all on a journey, right? And what I knew 20 years ago, hopefully I know more now. And hopefully you know more than what you knew 20 years ago. Because we're all growing and we're all learning. Things that Jamie said to me 23 years ago that I went, what? Nah, I don't know about that. Put it on the shelf, went on about my life. But then as the Lord has unfolded my life over the last 20 years, has brought things around to me and has taught me new things and grown me in all new things. If we're not changing glory to glory, there's something wrong. So if you hear something you're not sure about, it's okay. You don't have to agree with everything. All you have to do is know that Jesus, we got to agree on Jesus. We got to agree on Jesus. Savior, Redeemer, Restorer, our all in all. And that was another thing. How many remember me in May preaching a couple of times and saying God had me on a journey this year over trying to figure out what all meant? Yeah. Jamie didn't know that. And he preached a lot of the scriptures that the Lord has been revealing things to me about that I never saw before, that I never understood before. And even as I have been studying through these months, the Lord has, through movies, through other speakers, other things, bringing these scriptures into my life to teach and grow me in this area of all, in all, through all, for all, by all. You are, and he is in us. We were created in him for all, by all, through all, for love. And Jamie mentioned that, and I thought, oh my goodness, I have been on a journey. And other people are on the journey with me. Who wants to be on a journey of growth and learning and pursuing the heart of the Father for ourselves and for the world? Because you have purpose here. You have purpose here. And I want to know my full purpose, and I don't want to leave this earth with any of my purpose not fulfilled. I want it to all be done when I lay down and exit this piece of flesh into the cosmic being I am. I'm never going to get over that. I do want to pray, and this is not a political statement, so I'll just hear this first, okay? This is not political at all, but many of you know Rufus Wynot, who is a missionary in Romania, but he is in Ukraine, and he has been in Ukraine in and out, back and forth, over the last 3 years, rescuing refugees, shipping them, helping them get to safety to other countries. And he is in Romania this morning, and I don't know if any of you saw a post I made yesterday, but it was a video of some Romanians in church worshiping, believing that their freedom and their democracy is saved. And so our God is not an American God. He is the Lord of the whole earth, okay? Aside from what our president does, aside from what our government stands for, aside from all that, we are the children of the living God for this earth. And so we speak as the children of God to Romania. Father, we stand with Romania's democracy, to have continued democracy and freedom for your children that are there, that are working, that are living and breathing and worshiping you, that want their churches to stand and to grow and be filled. For those that don't know you there, Lord, that you would make a way for Rufus and Dee and all the teams there, Lord, for safety and coverage by your angels. And Father, we pray that freedom reigns, that freedom stands, that democracy holds. And we speak democracy and freedom for the nations, all the nations of the world. For all the nations of the world have your heart. All the people of the world have your heart. And you want them to hear of who you are. So while we are focused on Romania because of Dee and Rufus this morning, We speak to the nations that they will know you. They will hear you. They will fall in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. My husband didn't know I was going to do that. Hope that was fine.
Open your Bibles up. Amen. You guys ready for some word? Open your Bibles up to John chapter 11, verse 45. Becky, Miss Rebecca Fudge, can we have that clip? You probably don't have it queued up or anything, do you? You do? Okay, well, yeah, go ahead. Make sure it's loud.
Days dead at Bethany, and there were over 100 witnesses.
They were only witness to the man walking out of the tomb. They did not see him going, which means it could have been staged.
Why would so many people have come to Shiva if the person wasn't actually dead?
He has orchestrated more elaborate spectacles in the past.
I was bleeding for 12 years, and my faith in him healed me. That's no illusion.
Who can corroborate the facts of your supposed previous condition?
Are we really getting into this?
And where is Jesus now? Will he show up for the feast?
I doubt he would miss the Passover.
Unless he has something to hide. The coward won't show his face.
He is no coward.
How can you call him a coward? When not a week ago he stood up to you and other leaders when you tried to stone and arrest him.
We do not take blasphemy lightly. The law commands we put to death false prophets.
You would have us shrink from our duty.
I know what happened to me.
And I know what happened to me.
He's the Christ. And instead of embracing his power, you feel threatened by it. Because he will be your authority when he is king.
Insolent witch! You will recant your stick.
On what? You'll stone her too?
Tell us more, Jesus.
Control these people.
Driver, press forward.
I can't, sir.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Take all of this. Take this whole bundle. Here, take one.
Time has come. I must do the will of my Father in heaven. I know you all have many questions, and there will be a time for those. But for now, will you come with me? Lord, else will be gone. You alone have the words of eternal life. No matter what happens this week, no matter what you see, or feel, or think, or do, I want you to know that in this world, I loved you as my own. And I will love you till the end.
The next season will start. That's a clip from The Chosen. Will start season 5, I think, starts on Palm Sunday. So, at the theater. Amen. Becky, go ahead and bring up those lights. I showed you that because I wanted you to see. There's a lot of things I wanted you to see, but I wanted you to see Jesus' face as he began to ride toward Jerusalem. This one synoptic gospel writer says that he set his face like flint toward Jerusalem. We're going to look over the next however many weeks it is until Resurrection Sunday, April 20th. We're going to look at the time, what happened between Saturday of the Passion Week and Thursday night. I've always wanted to dig deeper into it because it's so real. It's so raw. The look between Jesus and Mary, his Emma, his mother. Mary knew. The steps that he was about to take, the uncertainty, the time. All the times that Jesus said, "My hour has not come." The clock has struck. So we're going to look at it, and we're going to learn. So be open, be attentive, and read all four of the Gospels about starting it. The day before the triumphant entry until the end of the book. And then it's just, it's amazing. Amen. You guys going to have John chapter 11, verse 45? Good. I want to straighten one thing out. Karen was passionately talking about our responsibilities of the kingdom. And Rufus, why not? Although he is a missionary in Romania, which Gary has actually been. Lois, did you go to Romania too? Hey, y'all been there twice? Y'all went to Romania twice? I'm green. Anyway, Rufus has served the Romanians for a long time, but he makes mission trips into Ukraine. And he's there in Ukraine today. So we need to pray for Rufus and for the people in Ukraine, and the people of Russia. Russia needs a new boss. Ukraine needs peace. So, chapter 11, starting in verse 45. Before Jesus mounted himself on that donkey and rode into Jerusalem, a few things had happened. I'm going to tell you two of them, and then we're going to pick up what other people were thinking. One was, as he was leaving Jericho, moving from one city, the old to the new, or the new to the old, there was a wee little man. What was his name? Zacchaeus. That's right. And he restored Zacchaeus, Jesus did, to his true identity. Because he had forgotten that he was a son of Abraham, a son of the promise, right? An heir of Abraham, just like us, right? And then Jesus spent some time away from Jerusalem because it had been, things were getting closer. And he got word that his friend Lazarus had died, right? And he went there. Is it on, Becky? What's it saying? Am I coming now? will work. So he raises Lazarus from the dead, right? With the sisters, Mary and Martha, that were there. And it's a wonderful, John 11 is an amazing story. And at the end of it, it says this in verse 45. You guys ready? Okay. Good morning. If you're online, you're watching this, and it's Wednesday night. Hey, where were you Sunday? No, I'm kidding. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin and said, "What are we to do? This man is performing signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And here's the kicker. The Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation." Truer words were never spoken. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year and had been high priest since the year 18, and he was high priest until the year 36, actually. He said to them, "You know nothing at all. You do not understand that it's better for you to have one man die for the people than to have the whole nation destroyed." Caiaphas didn't say this on his own, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was about to die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but to gather into one the dispersed children of God. So from that day on, they plan to kill Jesus. Jesus, therefore, no longer walked about openly among the Jews, but he went from there to a town called Ephraim in the region near the wilderness, and he stayed there with his disciples until the Passover of the Jews were near, what we just saw, the beginning of the Passover. And many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. And starting chapter 12, verse 1, John gives us a time frame. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they gave a dinner for him. Mary served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure lard. She anointed Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one, John tells us in retrospect, who was about to betray him, and said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put in it. Again, that was in retrospect. That day, Jesus said, "Leave Mary alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You will always have poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Matthew and Mark, they tell us that it was at Simon the leper's house this has happened at. It reminds me of the other time when Jesus' feet was anointed, when the Pharisee had invited him in for dinner, and a sinful woman, the Bible calls her, as if everyone in the room wasn't. She came in with her hair down already, which was indicative. And she bowed before the feet of Jesus as Jesus was sitting on the floor at a party being thrown by this Pharisee. And people would wander in like this. That was their custom. That was their hospitality. The door was open during a party. You didn't have to be invited. You could just show up. You couldn't eat unless you were invited, but you could show up. And she fell to her knees and she began to weep and to wash Jesus' feet with her tears. And she wiped his feet with her hair. And the Pharisee thought in his head, not out loud, if this man were truly a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is touching him. As if that's the most important thing that's happening right in front of his face. And Jesus asked him a question. Because that's what rabbis did to one another. He said, who loves more? The one who was forgiven little sin or much sin? And the Pharisee said, well, of course, the one who has been forgiven much loves much. And Jesus said, I came in here. You gave me no feet to wash my water. That's good, Tommy. You had the story going so well. They were listening and boom, baby. You gave me no water to wash my feet. Yet she hasn't stopped washing them with her tears. She dried them with her hair. And he told her, go, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Go be whole. Man. Mary probably remembered that. I like how John, one of the translations says that while Mary served, where Martha served, can't keep my story straight. While Martha served, Mary went and got the perfume that she had been saving for Jesus' burial. Now, how did Mary know that this was the week that she would need it? And this is the thing. She was so uncertain of the events that were about to unfold. She didn't know if she would be able to anoint his body after his death. The 12 guys who followed Jesus did not have a clue. None of their expressions, none of their thoughts, none of their emotions in this moment is recorded for us. Not even John's. He's recording after the fact. And he's doing it decades and decades after it's happened. But the act of worship that Mary did, it was an extravagant gift. Most translations say that it was worth a year's wage. One bottle. I always hoped when I was a kid and I would hear this story or see it on the flannel board. My sister sold Avon. And sometimes my mom would buy perfume from Avon. And on the page, it would look like those bottles were like, you know, this big. And they'd come in, and you could barely hold them in your hand. They were so tiny. And I used to wonder, was it a tiny little bottle that she had, or was it a lot? But she loved Jesus extravagantly. She let down her hair. Like the woman who came in to the dinner party that was being thrown for Jesus. Her hair was down. They didn't take their hair down in front of men that weren't family. They didn't let their hair down. A woman's hair was her glory, Paul wrote. But she had no regard for the culture. No regard for the tradition. She had this overwhelming passion inside of her. What's the phrase? To recklessly abandon everything else and worship Jesus. Just to shut out all of the doubts and the fears and the anxiety and the things that come crowding in, the to-do list, the appointments, the people crying for your time, the things that are demanding your attention, and recklessly abandoning them, letting down her hair, and just I will worship Him. I will pour out this anointing. Remember that song Danny Chambers used to sing? Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Have you ever been in a room where people have truly worshiped and they didn't scent the room beforehand? Because I've been to services where the room was scented, right? I mean, we used to have this lady used to come into the church that we worked for in Louisiana and that we attended in Louisiana, and she would put this rose scent, and it was so thick when you walked in there, it would like get under your eyelids. It was so thick. I mean, it was amazing. And then I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when Hannah and her entourage come here with her friends and her people come here, this building smells like Hannah and her friends have been here for days afterwards. But I remember when I was young. I don't know how old I was, but I was young. And I was a teenager. Wow. I had a face like a pizza pie. My hair was parted to the left, and it was long because I was coming out of that era where I used to have a headband with a peace sign on it. My goal in life was to be a hippie. So I was working in Kids Church, and we had these pastors that were there. They had come to us from Oak Cliff in Dallas. They had been youth pastors there, and our former pastor, who had been there for, I don't know, my whole life, they had fired him, even though his son was a Secret Service and had guarded a president. But these sweet people came in. Their names were Bud and Faye. Wonderful people. Before Bud came, and we called him Bud. We didn't call him Pastor Bud, or I don't even know his last name. I don't even know their last name. But Bud would get up and he changed from singing the first and the third verse and two rounds of the chorus to bringing in choruses that people just sang. We had music. The ladies' trio could only come out like once in a great while. All the tradition and the culture of our whole church changed. That little building with wooden pews, and they were padded with these they were maroon, weren't they? Maroon bench cushions. And they were the length of the pew. And if you had someone sitting on the end and there was nobody between you and them, you could grab it and you could just kind of pull it slow. And it would just look like they were doing this, going across there. It was the coolest thing. We did it to a friend of ours all the time. But he led the worship in choruses, and people would sing to God, and they would open their hearts up, and it was reckless abandonment. And I was in the back in the fellowship hall helping Brother Morris with children's church. And we would bring the kids in after service was over, and services would go long. And sometimes they would just worship. And when you walk into the room, the fragrance, the feel, the worship had completely changed the atmosphere. Things were different. I had gone to that church since it was across town in the little white building and went to Sunday school in the house next door to it. And remember when we built it over there on the feeder road beside I-20. Never in my life had I ever felt that feeling before. And I remember thinking, this is so, you almost want to apologize for walking into it without some type of transition from one moment to the next. This was a jarring moment in that room when Mary, who had been angry with Jesus because he hadn't shown up in time to heal her sick brother before he died, who had questions, who asked him, "Where were you?" Have you ever asked Jesus where he was? Have you ever yelled it at him at the top of your lungs? Have you ever put adjectives and adverbs in there at the top of your lungs? Because I have. This moment where Mary just takes her hair down. She takes this. Expensive, extravagant gift. And she opens it and she anoints his feet. And she wipes his feet with her hair. A woman. In their culture, person less than a man, who had more rules than men did, who had to live their life differently than a man could. And all of these men, these 12 men that were sitting there with him, all of them had seen Zacchaeus restored, had seen Bartimaeus, his eyes open, had seen Lazarus pulled out of the tomb by the power and the glory of God. None of them ever washed Jesus' feet. Not a single one. Never at one time. I don't know if they were proud. I don't know if they thought that they would serve him and follow him. But they didn't serve him and follow him like Mary did. They didn't love him in reckless abandonment like she did. She could see further in the future than they could. This isn't even Mary Magdalene. This isn't Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. But in this jarring moment, at this pivotal time, the next 6 days, she anoints his feet. Judas is just disturbed over it. Now, we look back with Judas with guilt-covered glasses because we didn't know him before. We met Judas when he betrayed Jesus, right? I mean, even on a flannel board, he looks different, right? His heart may have been good. His heart may have gone, man, we could have done so much. Later when he leaves the Passover meal, later in the week, they say maybe he's going to go give money to the poor because that's what he did. That was one of his responsibilities. But John's looking back. And it doesn't sound like, sounds like John was still dealing with some issues with Judas. Because he said, it's not that he cared about the poor, it's that he used to steal money. I guess he's priming the pump for us to get ready. So when Jesus goes out later in the week and speaks to the Sanhedrin and takes his payment to betray Jesus, we're not as surprised as they were. It's an amazing story. And I've got three things that I want to talk to you about. The first, they're really just observations, but they end up in a question. Okay? You guys good? Mary loved Jesus with passionate, extravagant, reckless abandonment. Do we? Do we love Jesus enough to prepare him for the next step? Are we in tune with Jesus' heart that we can feel the heaviness in him over the moment that he was in? The deadline that he was under. The things that he wanted to get done, the things that he wanted to say to his disciples, the things that he wanted to say to Mary and Martha and Lazarus, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and his mother Mary. Do we ever take the time to try to connect with the emotions of Jesus? Or is he just our genie in a bottle? I'm going to praise you. I'm going to give an offering. I need my three wishes for today. This week, over the next several Sundays, it's an opportunity for you and I to connect to the emotions and the mental state of Jesus. To live in the sand, to see the brass eagles that are put everywhere to remind us that we're living under an oppressive empire. That every Jewish man rose in Judea would get up in the morning knowing that the Romans were in charge. That the Romans were the rulers. When John quotes this in John chapter 11, where he says, where the Sanhedrin is talking and they say, the Romans will come in and take away our holy place and our nation. That's the first time in the Gospels that the word Roman is used. But it's a jarring awakening. But more than that, to understand the stories of climbing into the culture and seeing ourselves in sandals and robes and the heat and the dust and the million of people that Josephus tells us, the Jewish historian tells us, that would fill Jerusalem at the time of Passover. Where is Jesus today? Where is his heart today? What's Jesus going to do in the next 6 days that you and I are going to live in? What are we focused on? What do we need to be focused on? Where's the heart of God at in this moment, in 2025, in the first week of March? Where is the heart of Jesus the first Monday of March? Number two, worshiping in spirit and in truth transforms the atmosphere, but does ours. Does our worship transform the atmosphere? Not just worship on your own, but the sacred worship that happens within these four walls. Because it's not my worship, it's not your worship, it's our worship. Or our minds like Martha, I've got to make sure that the food is hot, that the salad is crisp, that there's enough plates, that everybody has enough. Are we thinking like that? Are we thinking, am I worshiping Jesus with all my heart, with all my mind, and all my strength? Soul? Am I giving it everything? Am I worshiping him in reckless abandonment? Does the room feel and smell differently after we worship? You know what true worship is? It's that place where you push aside all the stuff that's calling out to you. You push aside your emotions of who's mad at you, who you're mad about. You push aside everything else that wants to control your thought patterns. And you focus on who God is and what God's done and what God does. Number three. Mary prepared Jesus for his burial. And hers. This is something that, this is a point of thought that every believer needs to reckon with is that Jesus is in us and we are in him. That mystical, metaphysical union that we have no idea how to explain it. I always think about those entangled particles. A piece of an atom. That if one part of the particle, one entangled part is across the universe, and one part is where we are, they are intrinsically in union. What happens to one happens instantly to the other. But I found in looking at entangled particles and quantum mechanics that I can't understand, barely can say the words quantum mechanics. I'm proud of myself for being able to get that out. Once they're separated, they can't be in union. That's not you, like you and I. Because Paul, when he was writing to Roman Jewish people living in Rome, he said this: there is nothing in heaven or on earth or under the earth or anywhere else that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Yeah, amen. Yeah. We are entangled together with him. And unlike atomic particles, we can't be separated. Paul said this to the Ephesians as he sat in their prison. He wrote this letter and he said in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 4, he says, "But God," boy, that's always a happy place to start, isn't it? "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of his great love, which he loved us even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, Papa might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are what he has made us." Wow. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we may walk in them." Man, I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. There's many times in my life I don't feel like Christ is in me. I don't feel like I'm in him. But he never leaves. He doesn't move out and move in. Even though he used the metaphor, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open up, I'll come in. We'll sit down. We'll sup." I love that. We'll sup. He's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to believers that are appalled that Mary let her hair down. That are appalled at Judas because Judas says something out of the moment. Must have been his turn. Usually it's Peter's. Peter's quiet. So over the next, I think it's eight. I think there's seven more Sundays. I think on the seventh Sunday from today, it's Resurrection Day. Read the story. When Chosen comes out, watch the series. Let God make it real to us. The things that we can learn that can change our lives. There are precious few things written in the scriptures that we have. I wish there was a whole library. Let's learn from what we have. Let's ask the Spirit to ignite it for us. Amen? Let's all stand. Praise God. This morning, if you're here this morning and you need prayer for anything, you can just come down to the altar and a prayer warrior will join you, I promise. We are a praying people. Anything that you need prayer over whatsoever. Amen. That in mind, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I just thank you for this, for your word, for the scriptures that we have. I thank you that you're going to ignite it in our hearts and in our lives, that it's going to change us, that we'll be different people after this series is over. That, Father, you'll move in us and you'll open our hearts up and we'll begin to connect with the way that you feel about things. The way that you see things. Pray this prayer with me. Father God, Lord, I ask you, send your Spirit. Open my eyes. Open my mind. Let me walk, Lord, in those steps you created for me to walk in. Let me be the son or daughter. Amen. Let me be your child. That you created me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a great day. I love y'all. Have a good week. It's going to rain Tuesday. Pack a umbrella.